From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. Well, much is known about Freedom Works, the group that's been vehemently opposing Utah Senator Orrin Hatch's re-election. Relatively little has been disclosed about Freedom Path, a nonprofit that's backing him. But this week, more information about who is behind that group came out. Matt Canham is Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and contributor to Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. He joins me now from Washington. Hi, Matt. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too, Jeff.
Matt, what new information did you learn about Freedom Path this week?
Well, Freedom Path has to file disclosure reports with the federal government, and one of them included the names of two Utahns who are on their board of directors. Mm-hmm. Previously, they never disclosed any Utahn who was actually associated with their group.
And so who are these guys?
So who you have is you have Mark Emerson. Mark Emerson is a longtime Politico in the state. He worked for Orrin Hatch. He worked for Chris Cannon. He was the executive director of the Utah Republican Party. He now works for a digital learning company named Pearson in Salt Lake. Hasn't been around involved in politics lately, but his name's on there. The other one is not tied to politics. His name's Steve Troop. He's a title company escrow officer who is based out of Draper. And I can't find any ties between Steve and politics at all.
And it sounds like these two did not want to talk to you. Is that correct?
This group doesn't want to talk to me. This group doesn't want you to know they exist. They want to be in the shadows. Freedom Path plan and how they've operated is they've done ads that either support Orrin Hatch or criticize his Republican opponent, Dan Lillenquist. But they don't want to be the story. They want their message to be out there. On the other side, Freedom Works is an organization that's built by members. So they have a brand. They want their name out there. So there's a little bit difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. You also reported this week that there's a super PAC who is now backing Hatch, known as the Strong Utah PAC. What have their efforts been like so far?
Strong Utah PAC is run through the advertising agency Letter 23 in Salt Lake City. They have done very minimal activity so far. They did a radio spot. They did some mailers, about $8,000 worth. But they recently sent out a request for donations to all of Orrin Hatch's previous donors, trying to call the same group that's supporting him personally to give to a super PAC that support him even more. They want to do some ads later this year. They say that all their ads would be positive and towards Orrin Hatch and not be an attack ad against his opponent. But all of their plans come up with whether they can actually get the money to do it or not.
Sticking with Orrin Hatch, Matt, this week both Hatch and Utah Senator Mike Lee voted against the renewal of the Violence Against Women Act. You noted in the Tribune that Hatch not only helped create this law with Joe Biden, he's also pushed for it to be renewed in the past. What's he saying is behind his change of heart this time around?
He's saying that the Democrats have made this a political move. And when in the past, this bill, which has been reauthorized twice, and as you said, passed originally in 1994, has always been bipartisan. And why they say that, they point to three different things. This bill that the Democrats got through the Senate would increase the number of visas allowed to undocumented immigrants who reported that they were personally abused. Mm-hmm. They would also ban money to go to projects that discriminate against gay people. And it would allow federal courts to get involved in certain Indian tribe cases if one of the people involved was not a member of the tribe. He says those things make it overly political, too contentious, and he opposed it.
Finally, Matt, active Republicans in Utah will recall in 2010 that GOP delegates back then received a quite distasteful mailer that had a picture of then-candidate Mike Lee and an LDS temple, along with a photo of then-Senator Bob Bennett and the U.S. Capitol, asking which candidate really has Utah values. Now, the mailer was disguised to look like it was backing Mike Lee, but of course it was intended to have the opposite effect of hurting Lee by being so distasteful. You reported this week that the case is now closed in the Federal Election Commission behind this shadowy mailer. Remind us who exactly was behind it and what's the latest news out of the FEC?
Right. So it took the FEC 2 years to get here. Nothing like the federal government to do a quick investigation. The person involved is Tim Stewart. Tim Stewart was a longtime confidant of Senator Bob Bennett, and after Bennett lost, they actually got into business together, their lobbyists together with the Bennett Consulting Group. Tim was the one who did this. But Tim always said that there were other people involved, that he wasn't the mastermind, and that really ate at Senator Mike Lee. He wanted to know who else was out there. as part of the SEC conclusion to their investigation, they decided that fake PAC that Tim Stewart created to send this mailer out, which he called the Utah Defenders of Constitutional Integrity, must actually become a real PAC. He has to file the documents, and he has to pay a $1,400 fine. He also had to disclose who he talked to, and the two people he talked to was his friend George Marshall about it, as well as USU professor Randy Simmons, who used to be his professor when Tim was in college.
And interestingly, this mailer actually may have played some role in the very fierce conflict we saw at the state Republican convention last month over the second congressional district nominee, Chris Stewart. So Chris Stewart and Tim Stewart are related, I take it?
They're brothers. So what happened in this very unusual race, the second district had 11 candidates.
Right.
So everyone expected it would go to some sort of primary. That was the common political thought in the state. Well, what happened was one of the candidates was not very active at all, named Milton Hanks, got up and complained that some of the other candidates were ganging up on Chris Stewart, secretly putting out a mailer or a letter, excuse me, that one said that he was also helping his brother with the Temple mailer against Bennett, against Mike Lee in 2010, that he also embellished his military career, and that he was sought federal stimulus money, something Republicans are not very in favor of. There came this huge debate over whether who sent this letter and what it meant. And at the end, all of the other minor candidates got behind Chris Stewart's main challenger, Dave Clark, the former House Speaker. In the end, it didn't matter. People were so confused, didn't know what to do. Chris Stewart actually got more than 60%. He is the nominee of his party. The outcome of this is that everyone was left unsure of what they even witnessed. The state party is now investigating what happened and who did what. And so far, the report is not yet public. They're still working on it.
We've been speaking with Matt Canham. He is Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and contributor to Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. Matt, it's good talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.